A tanned young man with dark hair and brown eyes sits in an airplane, staring blankly ahead.
Gentlemen, we are about to begin our descent into Los Angeles. The sound you just heard is the landing gear locking into place. Los Angeles weather is clear, temperature 72. We expect to make our 4-hour and 18-minute flight on schedule. We have enjoyed having you on board and look forward to seeing you again in the near future.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
The young man, Benjamin Braddock, in a smart gray suit, stands motionless as the airport's moving walkway glides him along. Occasionally his glance flickers to take in a girl going the other way, but returns to staring soberly ahead again. Joseph E. Levine presents a Mike Nichols, Lawrence Truman production, The Graduate.
I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light, split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people waving
left.
People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs that voices never shared. No one did disturb the sound of silence. Who said I, you do not know?
A slim gray suitcase moves along a conveyor belt and drops out at a baggage collection point. The young man picks it up and walks through the crowds, heading out of the airport.
Attention, please. Parking in this area is limited to 3 minutes only. Please do not leave your car unattended.
He approaches the exit doors and smiles at someone waiting beyond the glass. Ben sits alone in a room, a lit fish tank behind him. The overhead light switches on as his father enters.
Hey, what's the matter? Guess we're all downstairs, Ben, waiting to see you.
Dad, could you explain to them that I have to be alone for a while?
These are all our good friends, Ben. Most of them have known you since, well, practically since you were born. What is it, Ben?
I'm just...
worried?
Well...
about what?
I guess about my future.
What about it?
I don't know. I want it to be...
to be what?
Different.
Ben smiles. His mother walks in.
Anything wrong?
No. We're just on our way downstairs.
The Carlsons are here.
They are? Well, come on.
They came all the way from Tarzana. Come on, let's get cracking.
It's a wonderful thing to have so many devoted friends.
Hey, there's the award-winning scholar.
We're all very proud of you, Ben.
Thank you, Mrs. Carlson.
Is that the new car out there, that little red whop charge?
That's Ben's graduation.
Well, you won't have much trouble picking up on that, will you?
Sir.
The girls, the chicks, the teeny boppers.
Oh, I think Ben's gotten beyond the teeny bopper stage, haven't you, Ben?
Yes, ma'am. Excuse me, I'd just like to check something on the car for a minute.
His father bought him an Alfa Romeo.
Hey, here's the track star. How are you, track star?
Just fine, Mr. Loomis.
I want to get a drink. Then I want to hear all about that thing that you won, that Hopperman Award.
Helping him.
Right. You wait right here.
Ben heads for the stairs, but gets grabbed.
Ben, we're all so proud of you.
Proud.
What are you going to do now?
I was going to go upstairs for a minute.
Oh, I meant with your future.
Your life.
Well, that's a little hard to say.
Ben.
Excuse me. Mr. McGuire.
Ben.
Mr. McGuire.
Come with me for a minute. I want to talk to you. Excuse us, Joanne.
Of course.
Thank you.
He propels Ben to the door. They walk out onto the patio next to a large pool.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
Ben looks blankly at the man who stands close, arm around him.
Exactly. How do you mean?
There's a great future in plastics. Think about it. Will you think about it?
Yes, I will.
Enough said. That's a deal.
Here he is now. Here's Ben.
Excuse me, just a minute.
Listen, everybody, I want you all to be quiet. I've got Ben's college yearbook here, and I just want to read you some of the wonderful things about Ben. Be quiet, please.
A woman
Captain
watches him.
Captain of the cross-country team, head of the debating club, associate editor of the college newspaper in his junior year, managing editor in his senior.
Panting, Benjamin leans heavily against the closed door of his large bedroom. Photos and hanging model airplanes fill one corner. A dartboard is next to the door. Ben is dressed in a navy sports jacket and gray trousers, a pale yellow shirt and striped tie, his hair combed and side parted. Recovering, he walks over to the window and watches a group of his parents' friends downstairs around the pool. He crosses to the bed and sits down next to the fish tank. Staring into it, he focuses on the model diver, submerged at the bottom.
I guess this isn't the bathroom, is it?
It's, down the hall.
How are you, Benjamin?
Fine, thank you, Mrs. Robinson. The, bathroom's down at the end of the hall.
Such a pleasant room.
Look, Mrs. Robinson, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm awfully...
Is there an ashtray in here?
They both look around.
No.
Oh, yes, I forgot the track star doesn't smoke.
He picks up a metal bin and puts it down in front of her.
Is it a girl?
Is what a girl?
Whatever it is that's upsetting you.
Oh, no, I'm just, sort of disturbed about things.
In general?
That's right.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
He rifles in the bin, putting her burning cigarette out.
Oh, Benjamin. I want to ask you something.
What?
Will you take me home?
What?
My husband took the car. Will you drive me home?
Here, you take it. Do you know how to work a foreign shift?
He's handed her the keys.
You don't?
No.
Let's go.
She flings the car keys past Ben into the fish tank. Ben whips off his jacket, rolls up his shirt sleeve, and retrieves them. He follows her out the door. Ben pulls up abruptly outside her house in his Alfa Romeo convertible as Mrs. Robinson, slightly annoyed and windblown, holds a protective hand over her coiffured hair.
Thank you.
Right.
She sits there, and it slowly dawns on Ben that she's waiting for him to open her door. He helps her out of the car.
Will you come in, please?
What?
I'd like you to come in till I get the lights on.
What for?
Because I don't feel safe till I get the lights on.
She walks briskly towards the imposing white house, Benjamin trailing behind.
Mind walking ahead of me to the sun porch. I feel funny about coming into a dark house.
But it's light in there.
Please.
Benjamin walks nervously through the house out to the large sun porch. Behind him, Mrs. Robinson wriggles out of her fur coat, revealing the slinky silver and black mesh mini dress she has on. She tosses her coat carelessly onto a chair and goes straight behind the counter of a well-stocked bar.
What do you drink? Bourbon?
Look, Mrs. Robinson, I drove you home. I was glad to do it, but I have some things on my mind. Can you understand that?
Yes.
All right.
What do you drink? Benjamin, I'm sorry to be this way, but I don't want to be left alone in this house.
Why not?
Please wait till my husband gets home.
When is he coming back?
I don't know. Drink?
No.
She hands him one anyway.
Are you always this much afraid of being alone?
Yes.
Well, why can't you just lock the doors and go to bed?
I'm very neurotic.
She lights a cigarette. Ben fans the smoke away and sits down in a chair. She switches on the stereo.
May I ask you a question?
She perches on a stool.
What do you think of me?
What do you mean?
You've known me nearly all your life. You must have formed some opinion of me.
Well, I always thought that you were a very nice person.
He sips his drink.
Did you know I was an alcoholic?
He looks up, nods, and gulps.
What?
Did you know that?
Look, I think I should be going.
Sit down, Benjamin.
Mrs. Robinson, if you don't mind my saying so, this conversation is getting a little strange. Now, I'm sure that Mr. Robinson will be here any minute now.
No.
What?
My husband will be back quite late. He should be gone for several hours.
Oh, my God.
Pardon?
Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
Mrs. Robinson, you didn't... I mean, you didn't expect...
What?
I mean, you didn't really think I'd do something like that.
Like what?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
She sits suggestively, one leg raised to reveal her inner thigh.
Aren't you?
Well, no, I hadn't thought of it. I feel very flattered.
Mrs. Robinson, will you forgive me for what I just said?
It's all right.
It's not all right. It's the worst thing I ever said to anyone.
Sit down.
Please forgive me because I like you. I don't think of you that way, but I'm mixed up.
It's all right. Finish your drink.
Mrs. Robinson, it makes me sick that I said that to you.
Well, forget it right now. Finish your drink.
What is wrong with me?
Have you ever seen Elaine's portrait?
Her portrait?
Yes.
No?
We had it done last Christmas. Would you like to see it?
Very much.
He follows her upstairs to Elaine's bedroom.
Here in Elaine's room.
Elaine certainly is an attractive girl, isn't she?
He turns to see Mrs. Robinson tossing her jewelry onto the bed.
I remember her as having brown eyes.
Benjamin?
Yes?
Will you come over here a minute?
Over there?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Will you unzip my dress? I think I'll go to bed.
Oh, well, good night.
Won't you unzip my dress?
I'd rather not, Mrs. Robinson.
If you still think I'm trying to seduce you...
No, I don't, but I just feel a little funny.
Benjamin, you've known me all your life.
I know that, but I'm just...
Come on, it's hard for me to reach.
He reluctantly unzips the dress and backs away, averting his gaze.
Thank you.
Right.
She reveals a strapless bra.
What are you so scared of?
I'm not scared, Mrs. Robinson.
Then why do you keep running away?
Because you're going to bed. I don't think I should be up here.
Haven't you ever seen anybody in a slip before?
Yes, I have, but I just... Look, what if Mr. Robinson walked in right now?
What if he did?
Well, it would look pretty funny, wouldn't it?
Don't you think he trusts us together?
Of course he does, but he might get the wrong idea. Anyone might.
I don't see why. I'm twice as old as you are. How could anyone think that...
But they would, don't you see?
Benjamin, I am not trying to seduce you.
I know that, but please, Mrs. Robinson, this is difficult.
Would you like me to seduce you?
What?
Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I'm going home now. I apologize for what I said. I hope you can forget it, but I'm going home right now.
Benjamin.
Yes?
Will you bring up my purse before you go?
I have to go now. I'm sorry.
I really don't want to put this on again. Won't you bring it up?
Where is it?
On the table in the hall.
He fetches the purse and stands at the foot of the stairs.
Mrs. Robinson?
I'm in the bathroom.
Well, here's the purse.
Could you bring it up?
Well, I'll hand it to you. Come to the railing and I'll hand it up.
Benjamin, I'm getting pretty tired of all the suspicion. Now, if you won't do me a simple favor, I don't know what.
I'm putting it on the top step.
For God's sake, Benjamin, will you stop acting this way and bring me the purse?
I'm putting it here by the door.
Will you bring it in to me?
I'd rather not.
All right. Put it in Elaine's room where we were.
Right.
A lamb to the slaughter, Benjamin puts the purse in front of Elaine's portrait. Reflected in the glass, he sees Mrs. Robinson come into the room. He spins around to confront her naked body.
Oh, God. Oh, let me out.
Don't be nervous.
Get away from that door.
I want to say something first.
Jesus Christ.
Benjamin, I want you to know that I'm available to you. And if you won't sleep with me this time...
Oh, my Christ.
If you won't sleep with me this time, I want you to know that you can call me up anytime you want and we'll make some kind of an arrangement. Did you understand what I said?
Let me out.
Benjamin, did you understand what
yes,
I said?
Yes, let me out.
Yes, I find you very attractive. And anytime you want, you just...
Oh, Jesus, that's him.
He pushes her slim body aside, unlocks the door, and dashes down the stairs. He skids into the sun porch, grabs his glass, and throws himself into a chair.
Is that Ben's car in front?
Yes, sir. I drove Mrs. Robinson home. She wanted me to drive her home, so I drove her home.
Swell, I appreciate it.
She's upstairs. She wanted me to wait down here till you got home.
Standing guard over the old castle, are you?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It looks like you need a refill.
Oh, no, I've got to go.
Hugh, is anything wrong? You look a little shaken up.
Oh, no. I'm just a little worried about my future. I'm a little upset about my future.
All right, come on. Let's have a nightcap together. Scotch?
Bourbon.
Ben... How old are you now?
20. I'll be 21 next week.
That's a hell of a good age to be.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
They sit down on the sofa with their drinks.
I wish I was that age again. Because, Ben...
Sir?
You'll never be young again.
I know.
Ben, can I say something to you?
What?
How long have we known each other now? How long have you and I known each other? How long have your dad and I been partners?
Quite a while.
He spits the end of his cigar into the bin.
I watched you grow up, Ben.
Yes, sir.
In many ways, I feel as though you were my own son.
Thank you.
So I hope you won't mind my giving you a friendly piece of advice.
I'd like to hear it.
Ben, I think you ought to be taking it a little easier right now than you seem to be. Sow a few wild oats. Take things as they come. Have a good time with the girls and so forth.
Don't get up.
Ben spins around and sits obediently.
I was just telling
Ben
here that he ought to sow a few wild oats. Have a good time while he can. You think that's sound advice?
Yes, I do.
I've got to go.
You have yourself a few flings this summer. I bet you're quite a ladies' man, huh?
Oh, no.
What? You look to me like the kind of guy who has to fight him off. Doesn't he look to you like the kind of guy who has to fight him off?
Yes, he does.
Oh, say, Elaine gets down from Berkeley on Saturday.
Oh, yes.
I wish you'd give her a call.
I will.
Benjamin. Benjamin?
Yes?
Thank you for taking me home. I'll see you soon, I hope.
Barbecue at the Braddocks.
Your attention, please. Are you ready in there? Feature attraction.
Could I speak to you for a second, Dan?
Listen, Now, I'm going to ask for a big round of applause to bring this boy out here, all right? Now, wait a minute. Oh, let me amend that. To bring this young man out here, because today he is 21 years old.
Mr. and Mrs. Braddock hug.
Just hang on a minute. I've got a few words to say.
You always do.
Oh, look who's talking.
Dad, can we just talk about this for a second?
I can't hold them much longer, Ben. You better get out here.
I'd like to discuss this.
This boy, I'm sorry, this young man, is soon to continue his education as a Frank Halpingham Award scholar. But before he does...
He runs back to the doors.
You're disappointing them, Ben. You're disappointing them.
Dad, can you listen?
I'll give you 10 seconds. He is going to give us a practical demonstration of what I feel safe in saying is a pretty exciting birthday present. And it better work, or I'm out over $200. Okay, then, let's hear it now for Benjamin Braddock! Yay!
Ben's in full scuba gear.
Come on, Benji! Let's hear it now! That a boy!
He's walking in flippers.
To perform for you some spectacular and amazing feats of daring in water that is over 6 feet deep.
Looking through the diving mask, breathing through a regulator, Ben's perspective of the scene takes over. Through the oval glass in the mask, Ben's father, in shorts, open shirt, sunglasses, and golf hat, big enthusiastic grin on his face, waves Ben forward, talking, moving his mouth in an exaggerated way. Ben looks down and sees steps and takes them carefully in the huge black flippers. The pale aqua of the pool is before him. Turning towards Mom and Dad, both of them talking, laughing, waving Ben into the pool. Friends and neighbors behind them all smile and wave. Back to the pool, slowly down the steps. Here goes. Underwater now, a pale aqua world, Ben starts to surface. His father's hand covers the mask, pushing Ben back down. Once under, Ben sees vague outlines of Mom and Dad poolside, watching. Ben's going to the deep end of the swimming pool, where the aqua becomes more intense. Everything is blue and silent, except for the air bubbles, which rise to the surface along both sides of his mask as he exhales. He leans on the side of the pool, dressed in the dark wetsuit, flippers, mask. Yellow straps secure a scuba tank on his back. A tube from the scuba tank to the regulator in his mouth carries the oxygen to him. A weighted belt around his waist allows him to sink to the bottom and just stand there like the little diver in Ben's fish tank. A phone call.
Hello?
I don't quite know how to put this.
Benjamin?
Look, I was thinking about that time after the party.
Where are you?
And I was wondering if I could buy you a drink or something.
Where are you?
The Taft Hotel.
Did you get a room?
No. Now, I know it's pretty late, and if you'd rather...
Give me an hour.
What?
I'll be there in an hour.
Ben, in a glass phone booth, hangs up and takes his jacket off as guests arrive at the Taft Hotel. As Ben is about to enter the Taft, he steps aside, holding the door for a group of older people who file out of the hotel slowly and seemingly endlessly. They're all dressed up, obviously having attended some sort of party. It appears they've taken Ben for staff. No one looks at him as he stands politely, a slight smile on his face. As the last person goes through and Ben is about to enter himself, a group of young people begin to file in. Ben continues to stand patiently, holding the door.
In the main ballroom.
Ben tentatively approaches the reception desk in the lobby. The room clerk glances up at him expectantly, then approaches Ben.
Can I help you, sir?
What? Oh, no. I'm just...
Are you here for an affair, sir?
Ben, wide-eyed, swallows hard.
What?
The Singleman party, sir?
Oh, yes. The Singleman party.
It's in the main ballroom.
Ah, thank you.
Ben puts his jacket on and heads for the main ballroom as the room clerk watches him. Ben pauses, looks back at the room clerk, and points towards the main ballroom. The clerk nods, and Ben continues towards a reception line.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you must be one of the porters.
No, actually, I'm not.
Yes, I'd like you to meet my sister, Mr. Witt.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Witt?
And that's my husband, Mr. Singleman.
Oh, sorry.
Fine, thank you. That's Jeffrey, of course.
Of course. I didn't get your name, sir. Benjamin Braddock, sir, but I'm...
Braddock. Braddock?
Yes, but I'm afraid...
Oh, no. I'll find your table in just a moment. Braddock. Not Braddock. We have a Braddock.
No, actually, I'm just looking for a friend.
Oh, well, I don't understand.
I'm not with your party. I'm sorry.
Hey, I don't get it.
I've enjoyed meeting you, Mr. Braddock.
As the reception line stands confused, Ben backs out of the ballroom and strides with exaggerated purpose past reception to the bar, all under the watchful gaze of the room clerk. He takes a seat and signals tentatively to a waiter who fails to respond. Later, playing with the straw in his drink, he takes a sip and stares down into a shiny black marble table, where his own reflection is joined by that of a chic woman wearing a leopard skin coat.
Oh, hello.
May I sit down?
Of course.
Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Ben leans on one elbow and takes a quick drag of his cigarette as Mrs. Robinson waits.
A drink, of course.
He tries to signal the waiter, but is ignored.
He didn't see me.
Waiter, I will have a martini.
Yes, ma'am.
You don't have to be so nervous, you know.
Nervous? Well, I am a bit nervous. I mean, it's pretty hard to be suave.
Did you get us a room?
What?
Have you gotten us a room yet?
I haven't, no.
Do you want to?
Well, I don't. I mean, I could. Or we could just talk.
You want me to get it?
No, I'll get it.
Do you want to get it now?
Now?
Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Why don't you get it?
Why don't I get it? Well, I will then, if you'll excuse me.
He bumps into the table and, looking slightly dazed, slowly walks from the bar back to reception. He approaches a man behind the desk.
Excuse me.
The original room clerk appears. Ben stares and swallows.
I'd like a room, please.
A single room or a double room?
A single, just for myself, please.
Would you sign the register, please?
Ben begins signing a card, then abandons it and starts another.
Anything wrong, sir?
What? No, nothing.
As the clerk reaches for the original card, Ben takes it and fumbles to put it first into one pocket, then another.
Do you have any luggage, Mr. Gladstone?
Luggage? Yes, I do.
Where is it?
What?
And where is your luggage?
Well, it's in the car. It's out there in the car.
Very good, sir. I'll have a porter bring it in.
Oh, no. I'd rather not go to all the trouble of bringing it all in. I just have a toothbrush. I can get it myself, if that's all right.
Of course. I'll have a porter show you the room.
Oh, well, actually, I just as soon find it myself. I just have a toothbrush to carry up, and I can handle it myself.
Whatever you say, sir.
Thank you.
The clerk regards Ben suspiciously as he walks off.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes?
For you.
Thank you.
She picks up the phone. The waiter's plugged in, dropping an earring on the table.
Hello?
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes?
It's Benjamin.
Yes?
Benjamin Braddock.
Benjamin, where are you?
Can you look through the glass?
She turns in her seat to look at a public phone booth outside.
Can you see me now?
Yes, I can.
I got a single room.
That's fine.
But there's one thing. The desk clerk seemed to be a little bit suspicious. Now, I don't know what the policy is.
Well, do you want to go up first?
Yes, I think that would be good.
I'll be up in 5 minutes.
Oh, goodbye then.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Isn't there something you want to tell me?
Tell you?
Yes.
Well, I want you to know how much I appreciate this. Really.
The number.
What?
The room number, Benjamin. I think you ought to tell me that.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's 568.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I'll see you later, Mrs. Robinson.
She smiles as she hangs up, flicks her cigarette, and looks at the waiter.
Check, please.
Ben passes reception and sees
I've
the room clerk.
I say I've got it.
Sir?
The toothbrush, I got it all right.
Very good, sir.
Yes. Well, good night.
Good night, sir.
The room clerk turns to watch Ben as he yawns and leaves. Upstairs, Ben walks down a very long corridor, wallpapered in a gold print and carpeted in a similar color. Tasteful wall lamps light the way. Ben finds room number 568, unlocks the door, and switches on the light. He surveys the room wide-eyed, then switches the light back off. He closes the door and crosses the dark room to switch a bathroom light on. He closes the bathroom door, then slowly reopens it with great care, watching the play of light on the room. When it reaches a point which he judges to be the correct amount of light, he leaves it. Satisfied, he goes to the windows and reaches behind the curtains to close the Venetian blinds. He puts the room key inside a bedside table and goes into the bathroom. Toothbrush in breast pocket, Ben re-enters the room and betrays his feelings with an involuntary nervous squeak. She flicks the lights on. Before closing the door, he glances at her quickly, then sticks the Do Not Disturb sign on the outside. Having put the chain on the door and turned the lights out again, he moves behind Mrs. Robinson, who's smoking a cigarette. He touches her gingerly on the back. She spins round. He gives her a long kiss as she rolls her eyes. She exhales smoke.
Well.
Benjamin.
Yes.
I'll get undressed now, is that all right?
Sure. Shall I? I mean, shall I just stand here? I mean, I don't know what you want me to do.
Why don't you watch?
Oh, sure, thank you.
Will you bring me a hanger?
What?
A hanger.
Oh, yes.
He moves stiffly across the room to the closet and looks at the hangers.
Wood?
What?
Wood or wire, they have both.
Either one would be fine.
Okay.
He struggles with the attached hotel hangers, then chooses a wire one.
Thank you.
She hangs up her coat as he watches.
Would you help me with this, please?
Certainly.
He unzips her top.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She pulls her top off, and as she begins to examine a spot on it, Ben robotically places his hand over her right breast, which she ignores. He eventually removes it, walks across the room, and slowly bangs his head against the wall.
Benjamin, would this be easier for you in the dark?
Mrs. Robinson, I can't do this.
You what?
This is all terribly wrong.
Do you find me undesirable?
Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson. I think you're the most attractive of all my parents' friends. I mean that. I find you desirable, but I... For God's sake, can you imagine my parents? Can you imagine what they would say if they just saw us here in this room right now?
What would they say?
I have no idea, Mrs. Robinson, but for God's sake, they brought me up. They made a good life for me, and I think they deserve better than this. I think they deserve a little better than jumping into bed with the partner's wife.
Are you afraid of me?
Oh, no, you're missing the point. Look, maybe we could do something else together. Mrs. Robinson, would you like to go to a movie?
She sits seductively in her slip and bra.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Ask me anything you want.
Is this your first time?
Is this what?
It is, isn't it? It is your first time.
That's a laugh, Mrs. Robinson. That's really a laugh.
Well, you can admit that, can't you?
Are you kidding?
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Wait a minute.
On your first time?
Who said it was my first time? Wait a minute.
Inadequate? I mean, just because you happen to be inadequate in one way.
Inadequate?
Their eyes lock for a moment, then she starts to reach for her clothes.
Don't move.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence.
Ben floats on a raft in the pool. A different raft, same Ben, same pool.
I turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light.
Now Ben lies on his stomach at the side of the pool.
And touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People...
Ben slips off his raft, swims to the steps, emerges, and puts on a white shirt. He leaves his mom and dad barbecuing poolside and goes through a door on which a towel hangs with the logo, the Taft. Ben enters a bedroom slowly, passing Mrs. Robinson half-dressed, undoing a necklace. Expressionless, he lies down on the bed. Mrs. Robinson sits on the bed in bra and slip and unbuttons Ben's shirt. She opens his shirt and rubs his tanned chest.
To the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning. In the words that it was forming.
Ben gets up and closes his bedroom door leading to the kitchen as his mom and dad look up questioningly. Ben lies in his own bedroom watching TV. Now he's in the Taft, still in bed, still watching TV, drinking a beer as Mrs. Robinson passes back and forth in front of the TV, getting dressed and finally leaving.
April, come she will. When streams are ripe and swelled with rain, May. Resting in my arms again. June, she'll change her tune. In restless walk, she'll prowl the night. July, she will fly. give no warning to her flight. August dies she must. The autumn winds blow chilly and cold.
In his room, he gets up and goes out to the pool and dives in as his mother watches.
A love once new has now grown old.
He swims underwater to a raft, hoists himself out of the pool, and lands on top of Mrs. Robinson in bed in the taft.
What are you doing?
Ben looks up at his father, blocking the sun.
Well, I would say that I'm just drifting here in the pool.
Why?
Well, it's very comfortable just to drift here.
Have you thought about graduate school?
No.
Would you mind telling me then what those 4 years of college were for? What was the point of all that hard work?
You got me.
Now listen, Ben. Look, I think it's a very good thing that a young man, after he's done some very good work, should have a chance to relax and enjoy himself and lie around and drink beer and so on. But after a few weeks, I believe that person would want to take some stock in himself and his situation and start to think about getting off his ass.
Ben's mother.
Robinsons are here.
Ben looks up at the Robinsons standing poolside.
Ben, what are you doing with yourself these days?
Oh, not too much. Taking it easy.
That's what I'd do if I could. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, Ben, Elaine's coming down from Berkeley soon. I want you to call her up this time.
I will.
Because I just think you two would hit it off real well together.
Say hello to Mrs. Robinson, Benjamin.
Hello, Mrs. Robinson.
Hello, Benjamin.
She stands above him, her eyes hidden by large sunglasses. Ben's in a steamy bathroom, towel around his waist, face lathered. He stands over the sink, just beginning to shave as his mother comes in.
Hi, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
Benji, darling, I'm going to ask you something, but you don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
What?
Well, I'm going to ask you what you do when you go off at night.
He pauses.
When I go off?
You don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
No, I do. I want to tell you. I drive around.
What else?
Nothing else.
Well, you don't drive around from midnight until noon the next day, Benjamin.
Oh, no.
Well, then what do you do? You meet someone?
Meet someone?
Hmm.
Why do you say that?
Well, this is your business. I don't want to play games with
you. Oh, wait. I don't meet anyone, Mother, but why do you say that?
Benjamin, I don't want to pry into your affairs, but I would rather you didn't say anything at all and be dishonest. Good night.
Well, wait. Wait a minute. Will you wait a minute, please?
Ben turns on the light.
Mrs. Robinson, do you think we could say a few words to each other first this time?
I don't think we have much to say to each other.
She switches it off.
Look. For months, all we've done is come up here and leap into bed together.
Are you tired of it?
I'm not, no. But do you think we could liven it up with a little conversation for a change?
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Anything. Anything at all.
Do you want to tell me about some of your college experiences?
Oh, my God.
She's turned the light on and reaches for a cigarette. Ben's kneeling, banging his head into his hands. She lights the cigarette and switches the light back off.
How about art?
Art? That's a good subject. You start it off.
You start it off. I don't know anything about it.
Well, what do you want to know about it? Are you interested more in modern art or in classical art?
Neither.
You're not interested in art?
No.
Then why do you want to talk about it?
I don't.
Now, look, we're going to do this thing. We're going to have a conversation. Tell me what you did today.
I got up.
Oh.
I fixed breakfast for my husband.
There. There's something we could have a conversation about. Your husband.
Oh, him.
I mean everything.
I don't know anything about how you work this. What do you say to him when you leave the house at night?
Nothing. He's asleep.
Always? Doesn't he wake up when you come home?
We have separate bedrooms.
Oh, I see. So you don't... I mean, I don't like to seem like I'm prying, but I guess you don't sleep together or anything.
No, we don't.
Well, how long has this been going on?
For God's sake, let's
drop this. Wait a minute. Why did you marry him?
See if you can guess.
Well, I can't.
Think real hard, Benjamin.
I can't see why you did, unless... You didn't have to marry him or anything, did you?
She switches the light on.
Don't tell him, eh?
Oh, no, you had to marry him because you got pregnant.
Are you shocked?
Well, I never thought of you and Mr. Robinson as a kind of...
All right, now, let's get to bed.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
She snuggled up to him.
How did it happen?
What?
You and Mr. Robinson. I mean, do you feel like telling me what were the circumstances?
Not particularly.
Was he a law student at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And you were a student also?
Mm-hmm.
At college?
Yes.
What was your major?
She turns away from him.
Benjamin, why are you asking me all these questions?
Because I'm interested, Mrs. Robinson. Well, what was your major subject at college?
Ben's leaning on one elbow, looking down at her.
Art?
He stares thoughtfully.
But I thought you...
They both stare in different directions.
I guess you kind of lost interest in it over the years, then.
Kind of.
He rests his hand nonchalantly on her bottom.
What?
You and Mr. Robinson.
How do you think?
I mean, did he take you up to his room with him? Did you go to a hotel?
Oh, Benjamin, what does it possibly matter?
I'm curious.
We'd go to his car.
Oh, no. In the car you did it?
Well, I don't think we were the first.
What kind of car was it?
What?
You remember the make of the car.
Oh, my God.
Really? I want to know.
It was a Ford, Benjamin.
A Ford? God damn it, that's great, a Ford.
That's enough.
She switched the light out again.
So old Elaine Robinson got started in a Ford.
Don't talk about Elaine.
Don't talk about Elaine?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want you to.
Well, why don't you? I wish you'd tell me.
There's nothing to tell.
Well, why is she a big taboo subject all of a sudden? Well, I guess I'll have to ask her out on a date and find out what the big deal is.
Benjamin, don't you ever take that girl out. You understand that?
Look, I have no intention of taking her out.
Good.
I was just kidding around.
Good.
Well, why shouldn't I?
I have my reasons.
Then let's hear them.
No.
Let's hear them, Mrs. Robinson, because I think I know what they are. I'm not good enough for her to associate with, am I? I'm not good enough to even talk about her, am I?
Let's drop it.
We're not dropping it. I'm good enough for you, but I'm not good enough to associate with your daughter. That's it, isn't
Amen.
It? Isn't it?
He's pulled the sheet off her. She reaches down and pulls it back up and stares at him.
Yes.
You go to hell. You go straight to hell, Mrs. Robinson. Do you think I'm proud of myself? Do you think I'm proud of this?
I wouldn't know.
Well, I am not.
You're not.
No, sir. I'm not proud that I spend my time with a broken-down alcoholic.
I see.
And if you think I come here for any reason besides pure boredom, then you're all wrong. Because, Mrs. Robinson, this is the sickest, most perverted thing that ever happened to me. And you do what you want, but I'm getting the hell out.
Are you?
You're goddamn right I am.
He slips into his shirt.
That's how you feel about me, that I'm a sick and disgusting person.
Now, don't start this.
What?
Don't start acting hurt.
Don't you expect me to be a little hurt?
Mrs. Robinson, you lie there and tell me I'm not good enough for your daughter.
Did I say that?
In so many words.
Benjamin, I want to apologize to you, if that's the impression you got.
Well, 2 minutes ago, you told me I wasn't good enough for your daughter. Now you say you're sorry I got that impression.
I didn't mean it. I don't think you'd be right for each other. But I would never say you aren't as good a person as she is.
You wouldn't?
Of course I wouldn't.
She sits on the edge of the bed, extends one leg seductively, and pulls a stocking up.
What are you doing?
Well, it's pretty obvious you don't want me around anymore.
Well, look, I was kind of upset there. I'm sorry I said those things.
It's all right. I think I can understand why I'm disgusting to you.
Well, no. Look, I like you. I wouldn't keep coming here if I didn't like you.
But if it's sickening for you?
It's not.
She continues fastening her stockings with the garters.
Enjoy it. I look forward to it. It's the one thing I have to look forward to.
You don't have to say that.
Well, I wouldn't. I would never say it if it wasn't true.
Well, may I stay then?
Yes, please. I want you to.
Thank you.
Well, don't thank me because I want you to.
He takes off his jacket.
You won't ever take Elaine out, will you? I want you to promise me that.
Look, why the hell did you bring this up? It never occurred to me to take her out.
Then give me your word you won't.
This is absurd.
Promise me, Benjamin.
All right, I promise. For Christ's sake, I promise I'll never take out Elaine Robinson.
He starts to undress.
Thank you. Benjamin.
Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk at all.
As Ben takes off his trousers, Mrs. Robinson drops her head dejectedly. She begins to remove her stockings as he throws his trousers aside and slips off his watch. He stares at nothing, hands on hips, as she flings first one stocking, then the other, to the chair beside her. Silence is restored. Dad's smoking and Ben's reading the back of a cereal box.
Elaine's back from school. I think it might be a nice gesture if you asked around.
Ben turns to his dad and both parents look at him. He goes back to the cereal box. The three sit in silence, his parents glancing intermittently at each other. Later in the swimming pool, Ben's on the raft, face down in the water wearing a mask. His parents circle him.
Oh, she's not good enough for you, is that it?
Look, Elaine Robinson and I do not get along.
How do you know? You haven't seen her since high school. Suppose your evenings, whatever you do with them, are just too valuable.
That has nothing to do with it.
I guess I'll just have to tell Mr. Robinson that you're too busy every evening doing God knows what.
Now, don't go on like this.
Yeah.
If Benjamin absolutely refuses to take her out...
I do.
Then I will simply have to invite all the Robinsons over on Thursday.
Ben has slid off the raft and escaped to underwater silence. He holds his breath, peering through the diving mask. Ben at the Robinsons.
Well, Braddock, it's about time you got her out of this.
They walk toward Mrs. Robinson, watching TV. She stares at him, eyes smoldering.
No points, right? Here's our next question, gentlemen.
Hello?
What is your wife's most unusual...
Mrs. Robinson looks away.
I'm afraid the young lady isn't quite ready yet. Hey, what would you say to a short one?
Scotch, still your drink?
Bourbon.
Mr. Robinson pours him a scotch.
Not shaving her legs.
Mr. Robinson watches TV as he puts ice into the scotch. Mrs. Robinson reclines on the sofa, stone-faced.
Well, I'll see if she's ready.
Mr. Robinson leaves them alone. Ben looks around to make sure he's gone, then moves to the sofa beside Mrs. Robinson.
This was not my idea. This was my father's idea.
Benjamin, I thought I made myself perfectly clear about this.
Look, we'll go out to dinner and have a drink, and I'll bring her right back. Because it was either that or a dinner party for the two families, and I'm afraid I couldn't quite handle that if you don't mind. Look, I have no intention of ever taking your precious daughter out again in our life, so don't get upset about it.
I am. I'm extremely upset about it, Benjamin.
Elaine comes in with her father.
Hello.
Well, I want you to keep your wits about you tonight. You never know what tricks Ben picked up back there in the East.
As Mrs. Robinson stares, her face a mask, Ben and Elaine set off in his car.
You're living at home now, is that right?
Yes.
Do you know what you're going to do?
No.
Are you going to graduate school?
No.
He's cutting in and out of traffic, passing everyone. Nightlife spills from countless clubs onto the crowded sidewalks out front as Elaine follows Ben, practically running to keep up as he strides along, hands shoved into pockets, apparently oblivious to her. A constant flow of traffic on the street mixes with the music from the clubs and fills the night air. Ben's wearing a white sports jacket and dark glasses. Elaine is young, fresh, and pretty, with long auburn hair held back with a clip. She's also dressed in white. Ben goes into a strip club and Elaine follows, edging her way carefully through the men standing and watching as a young woman on stage bumps and grinds to the music. Ben stops along the way and has a look. Elaine stands by him, glancing up at the stage, then quickly down. A man shows them to their seats near the stage. Ben sits facing the stage. Elaine stands helplessly for a moment with her back to it.
Sit down!
Elaine sits facing him, totally out of place. Ben stares up at the stage through dark glasses, a cigarette drooping from the corner of his mouth.
Why don't you watch the show?
Elaine struggles for words.
Benjamin, do you dislike me for some reason?
No. Why should I?
I don't know.
The stripper is down to her panties, tassels hanging from each breast, which she manages to get rotating in opposite directions.
You're missing a great effect here. How do you like that? Could you do it?
As Elaine shakes her head no, the stripper walks over towards their table and continues rotating her tassels as she bends down over Elaine's head. Ben takes his dark glasses off and looks at Elaine, crying with her head bowed. Ben lurches toward the stripper to stop the performance as Elaine gets up and runs out of the club. Ben follows. They run through the crowd on the sidewalk.
I'm sorry I took you in there.
I think I better go home.
Elaine.
Where's the car?
I just want to tell you something.
She stops running but is choked with tears.
I want to go home.
But can I just tell you this one thing?
What?
This whole idea, this date and everything, it was my parents' idea. They forced me into it.
Oh, that's very nice of you to tell me.
No, what I mean is that's why I've been acting this way. I'm not like this. I hate myself like this. Listen, could you just stop crying, please?
No, I couldn't.
But could you try?
No.
Her face is to a billboard. He leans on it, hands in pockets. She turns towards him slightly and he kisses her. Her hands go up in slight protest and he puts his arms around her. Later in the car, at a drive-in restaurant...
I've had this feeling ever since I've graduated. This kind of compulsion that I have to be rude all the time. You know what I mean?
She nods, mouthful of burger.
Yes, I do.
It's like I've been playing some kind of game, but the rules don't make any sense to me. They're being made up by all the wrong people. No. I mean, no one makes them up. They seem to have made themselves up.
He leans over to the next car.
Hey, I wonder if I might request you to turn that down a little.
They turn the radio up. Ben and Elaine pull their trays in, close the convertible roof, and roll up the windows to talk. Later, parked in front of the Robinsons.
Would you like to come in? I could make you some coffee.
No. I mean, I wouldn't want to wake anyone up.
You won't. Let's go inside.
Wait a minute.
Is anything wrong?
No. I was just thinking. It's still early. Maybe we could do something, go somewhere else.
All right. Where are we going?
I'm trying to think of where there's a place to have a drink around here.
Isn't there one at the Taft Hotel?
He runs up on the curb.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm just wondering if they have a bar or not. I mean, let's go see. Let's go see if they do or not.
They enter the Taft Hotel.
Listen, Elaine, it seems to me that there isn't a bar here. I mean, as far as I know.
Of course there is. Look, there's the palm room right there.
Good evening.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Good evening, Mr. Gladstone.
Hello again.
He looks at Elaine and shrugs.
Gladstone, how are you this evening?
A diminutive baggage boy.
Let's get out of here, Elaine. Let's go somewhere else.
Do they know you?
Of course not.
Good evening, sir.
Come on, Elaine, we're leaving.
Mr. Gladstone, how are you?
Benjamin, what's happening?
I don't know. They must think I look like this guy Gladstone.
Hello, Mr. Brandis.
The woman from the Singleman affair. Ben pulls over.
Elaine, I like you. I like you so much. Do you believe that?
She nods.
Thing for so long that I like. The first person I could stand to be with.
Elaine's watching him intently.
My whole life is such a waste. It's just nothing. I'm sorry. I'll take you home now.
Benjamin, are you having an affair with someone?
He turns the engine off.
I'm sorry, that's not my business.
It just happened. It's just this thing that happened along with everything else. Can you understand that?
Was she married or something?
He glances at her.
Yes.
With a family?
Yes, she had a husband and a son.
Did they ever find out?
No.
And it's all over now?
He looks directly at her.
Yes.
He restarts the car.
I'm glad.
At her front door. He walks away, clutching a bag of chips from the drive-in restaurant. He chucks it back to her. The next morning, Benjamin drives to the Robinsons in the rain, whistling to himself. He stops to see a pair of legs running towards the car.
Mrs. Robinson, Elaine and I have a date. We're going for a drive.
Do exactly as I say.
Ben obeys. She sits beside him in a dark raincoat, dripping wet hair held back with a white headband.
Listen to me very carefully, Benjamin. you are not to see Elaine again, ever. Those are my orders, is that clear?
Mrs. Robinson, do you think
I can make things quite unpleasant.
How?
In order to keep Elaine away from you, I am prepared to tell her everything.
He stops short and shakes his head.
I don't believe you.
Then you better stop believing me.
I just don't believe you would do that.
Try me.
Ben grabs a white box from the dashboard and bolts out of the car for the Robinson's house. She has trouble getting her door open. Ben runs through the rain, Mrs. Robinson behind him.
On each on the corner.
What's the matter?
Hurry, put your shoes on.
He looks down at the front door and sees her mother.
Elaine.
What are you doing?
Elaine, I have to tell you something.
What is it?
That woman.
What?
That woman, that older woman that I told you about.
You mean that one?
Yes, the married woman. That wasn't just some woman.
What are you telling me? Benjamin, will you just tell me what this is all about?
He looks past Elaine at Mrs. Robinson. Elaine turns around and also sees her. Mrs. Robinson leaves. Elaine turns back to Ben and stares at him, searchingly.
Oh, no.
Elaine.
Oh, my God.
Please.
Get out of here.
Don't cry.
Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out!
Ben sees Mrs. Robinson standing in the hall, looking utterly lost. She remains propped against the wall, her eyebrows rise almost pleadingly over her brown, intelligent eyes, smudged beneath with makeup. Ben lies on his bed, distractedly knocking cigarette butts off the table which holds his fish tank. He parks on Elaine's street and watches her through his rearview mirror as she emerges from the house. He leans on the window, watching his father clean the pool. He watches unseen as Elaine and her father load suitcases into the car boot and Elaine climbs in, exchanging no farewell hugs with her mother, who walks towards the car as it pulls away. He sits at his desk, Elaine's name written over and over on a sheet of stationery.
Going to marry Elaine Robinson.
His father walks towards him, grinning.
Well, well, well!
What's happening?
Ben says that he and Elaine are getting married.
I don't believe it.
That's what he says, right?
I'm going up to Berkeley today.
Hey, come on, we gotta call the Robinsons. We've got something to celebrate.
No, I think you'll want to wait on that.
Oh, they don't know.
No, they don't.
Well, when did you decide all this?
About an hour ago.
Wait a minute. You talked to Elaine this morning?
No, she doesn't know about it.
You mean she doesn't know that you're coming up to Berkeley?
No, actually, she doesn't know about us getting married yet.
Well, when did you two talk this over?
We haven't.
You haven't?
Ben... This whole idea sounds pretty half-baked.
No, it's not. It's completely baked. It's a decision I've made.
Well, what makes you think she wants to marry you?
She doesn't. To be perfectly honest, she doesn't like me.
Ben leaves as the toast pops up.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.
Ben drives to Berkeley in Northern California, passing through San Francisco. He walks around the campus waiting for a glimpse of Elaine. He sees her talking and laughing with other students. Ben's following a man upstairs.
Not exactly. What's
that? I said not exactly, no.
What are you then?
Well, I'm just sort of traveling through.
I'd like to know who's living in my house. I'd like to know what my boys are up to.
I'm not up to much, actually. I'm just visiting. I mean, I've always wanted to see Berkeley.
The man stops short.
Those agitators.
What?
One of those outside agitators?
Oh, no.
I hate that. I won't stand for it. I won't stand for that.
They continue climbing stairs. Ben haunts the campus watching for Elaine. She emerges from a building, long loose auburn hair glistening in the sunshine. She's wearing white jeans and a brown jacket, her handbag slung over one shoulder. Another time, he spies her through a coffee shop window and gets up to follow her. She boards a bus, which he just misses. He runs alongside it, looking up at her. She sees, but ignores him. A blonde woman sits beside Elaine on the bus. Elaine sees Ben get on at the next stop. She closes her eyes and takes deep breaths, biting her lower lip. Ben makes his way to the seat behind her and sits down, out of breath.
This for a coincidence.
She totally ignores him as he leans forward over the back of the seat.
I was wondering where you were headed.
I'm meeting someone.
Where? Where are you meeting this person?
At the zoo.
The zoo? They have a pretty good one here, do they?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Oh, well, I haven't either. I might just ride out there with you.
The woman next to Elaine turns and stares at him.
Is that him over there?
No.
He walks fast to keep up with her determined stride.
Where did he say he was going to meet you?
I thought he said by the monkey house.
Oh.
Benjamin, I would like to know what you're doing here.
Here? In Berkeley?
Yes.
Well, I have this very pleasant room on Carter Street. I've been getting this in classes.
But you're not enrolled.
No, I just sit in. They don't seem to mind. They've been very congenial about it.
Benjamin, you're... I don't know what to say.
Maybe we can get together sometime and talk about it.
Really incredible.
Undaunted, he continues to tag
here
along.
What?
I've got a real feeling that this is the fellow.
A tall, blonde, pipe-smoking man.
He certainly is a good walker.
He rushes up to her.
I'm sorry. We thought you said by the monkey house.
This is Benjamin Braddock, Carl Smith. Benjamin rode here with me on the bus.
Glad to meet you, Ben. Great meeting you, Carl. Swell seeing you.
They hurry off, Carl's arm around Elaine. Ben watches them go, then turns and leans on a bar outside the monkey's cage. He looks through the chain-link fence to see two monkeys in a repeated neurotic rocking motion. Behind him, a gorilla sits, thoughtfully munching some food. Caving in his room.
I want to ask you a question and then I'm going.
From them?
No. I want to know why you're here in Berkeley.
Because I am.
Is it because I'm here?
What do you think?
I think it is. I said I think it is.
All right, then, yes.
Well, I want you to leave.
Well, look, I love you.
How could you do that, Benjamin? Do you just hate everything? How could you possibly rape my mother?
What?
I don't understand.
Did
I don't
you say
understand
rape
how
her?
You, how anyone could do a
what
thing like
say?
That.
What did she say? You've got to tell me what she said.
Why?
Because it isn't true.
He stops her leaving.
She said that she was having a drink at the hotel with a friend and that you waited for her in the parking lot and told her that she was too drunk to drive home and that you would get her a room for the night.
Well, then what?
Then you took her upstairs and you raped her.
Oh, no, no, that's not what happened. What happened was that there was this party at my parents'. I drove your mother home.
I don't
want to
hear
this. And we went upstairs to see your portrait.
No,
and
I don't.
And got up in the room. She started
this
taking her
mother,
clothes
Benjamin.
Off. And suddenly there she was without any clothes on. I mean, really naked.
He rushes for a glass of water as she throws herself onto his bed. Ben gives Elaine the water, then walks to the door. He opens the door slightly.
Oh, hello, Mr. McClure.
Who's Green?
It's all right, Mr. McClure.
Screaming is not all right. Not in my house, it isn't.
It was just a visitor, but it's all right now.
McCleary tries to see in.
What'd you do to her?
Look, she's all right. She's upset and she screamed, but it's okay now.
Shall I get the cops?
What?
I'll get the cops.
Hey, wait a minute. Now, damn it, look.
He opens
here
the door.
She is having some water. Now, there's no need for the cops or anything.
All right, boys. You can all go back to your rooms now. Go ahead. We won't have any more of this agitation. Will we, Braddock?
No, sir.
McCleary starts to leave, then turns back.
I want you out of here.
What do you mean?
Are you hurting me out of here?
What for?
Because I don't like you.
Ben stares as McCleary leaves. Ben turns from the door deep in thought. Slowly, he takes the ends of the white towel around his neck and wipes the shaving cream off his face. He begins to move around the room, packing, ignoring Elaine. She is still sitting on the bed, watching him, a concerned look on her face. She shifts her position to follow his motions and tucks a strand of her long auburn hair behind her ear.
I'm sorry I screamed.
She gazes at him.
Benjamin, when you came up here, what did you think was going to happen between us?
They avoid looking at each other.
Right now, I don't feel like talking much. I'm sorry about everything, but I I'll just do this now.
He continues packing.
Can I just sit here while you're packing?
He bends over and puts his shoes on. Dressed in white t-shirt and trousers, he has two long lines of shaving cream remaining on his jaw. Ben moves about automatically as if Elaine's not in the room. She remains on the bed.
What are you going to do now?
I don't know.
Are you going home?
No.
Well, where are you going?
He pauses in his packing.
Elaine, you're going to have to stop asking.
She nods solemnly, then gets up abruptly to go, but stops after opening the door.
I don't want you to leave tomorrow.
He looks at her.
I don't understand.
I don't want you to go anywhere.
She turns and faces him.
Until you have a definite plan. Goodbye.
Shocked, Ben stares down thoughtfully, then moves to the window to watch her as she runs from his building and down the sidewalk. Later, a knock as Ben lies sleeping.
What's happening?
Benjamin?
What?
Elaine has slipped into his room. She's leaning near the door.
Will you kiss me?
Ben leans on one elbow, frozen in his bed for a moment, then slides across, modestly tucking the sheet around his waist. He goes to Elaine, puts one arm around her, and tilts his head sideways to give her a long kiss, during which the two of them stand quite still and apart. He then brings both his arms up to rest them on her shoulders and pauses to yawn.
Will you marry me?
She shakes her head no.
What?
I don't know.
She clasps her hands over his arms, their foreheads touch.
You might?
I might.
Is that so? You might marry me?
I don't know.
How about tomorrow? I don't mean to be pushy, but
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
You mean you're confused?
She nods, now hugging him tightly.
Look, don't be confused. We're getting married.
I don't see how we can.
We just can't.
Still embracing, they walk towards the bed.
Now.
She breaks the embrace.
Are you serious about this?
I'll think about it.
You really will?
Yes.
He stares wonderingly as she leaves, then smiles to himself. He walks back to his bed.
Good God.
The next morning on campus.
Test
tomorrow.
Well, this afternoon. It's a good day for it.
Benjamin, I haven't even said I'll marry you yet.
We'll need our birth certificates. I happen to have mine with me. Where's yours?
I just don't think it would work.
Why wouldn't it?
He waits, never moving, outside her classroom door.
Why wouldn't it?
I just don't think it would.
Now, at a basketball game.
Why don't you just drag me off if you want to marry me so much?
Why don't I just drag you off? All right, I will. Right after we get the blood tests.
I have to see Carl first.
Carl who?
A basket scored.
Carl who?
Carl Smith. He's a medical student. We've known him for years.
Who, that guy at the zoo?
Yes.
Why do you have to see him?
Well, I said I might marry him.
You what?
Now in the library.
Did he get down on his knees? He didn't get down on his knees, I hope.
No, Benjamin.
What did he say? I'm curious.
pretty good dame.
Oh, no, he said that?
Shh.
Well, where did he do it?
She gets up.
I'd like to know where it happened.
He watches her as she leaves.
It wasn't in his car, was it?
Outside, they walk together slowly on the campus.
Good night.
Are we getting married tomorrow?
No.
The day after tomorrow?
I don't know. Maybe we are, maybe we're not.
She smiles, turns, and leaves. Ben stands watching her. She comes back and kisses him. Ben emerges from a jewelry store, whistling. He returns to his boarding house laden with packages and a huge bunch of flowers. He climbs the steps and enters his room. A man sits smoking in his room.
You want to try and tell me why you did it?
Mr. Robinson.
Do you have a special grudge against me? Do you feel a particularly strong resentment?
No.
Is there something I've said that's caused this contempt, or is it just things I stand for that you despise?
It was nothing to do with you, sir.
Well, Ben, it was quite a bit to do with me.
Now, look, please.
Ben, I think we're two civilized human beings. Do you think it's necessary to threaten each other?
I'm not threatening you.
Do you want to unclench your fist, please? Thank you. I can see in the dark, you know. I've been here quite a while.
I'm trying to tell you I have no personal feelings about you, Mr. Robinson. I'm trying to tell you I do not resent you.
You don't respect me terribly much either, do you?
Ben looks down.
Sir. What?
No, sir.
Don't shout at me, Ben. I may not be as young as you, but I still have pretty good hearing.
Mr. Robinson.
Have the decency to wait until I finish. I do think you should know the consequences of what you've done. I do think you should know that my wife and I are getting a divorce soon.
But why?
Why?
Listen to me. What happened between Mrs. Robinson and me was nothing. It didn't mean anything. We might just as well have been shaking hands.
Shaking hands? Well, that's not saying much for my wife, is it?
You missed the point.
I guess I do.
The point is, I don't love your wife. I love your daughter, sir.
All right, now listen to this. I don't know whether I can prosecute, but I think I can. I think I can get you behind bars if you ever look at my daughter again. I've seen Elaine, and I make damn sure you can't get to her. Stay away from me, Ben!
He walks over the bed.
I don't want to mince words with you. As far as Elaine is concerned, you're to get her out of your filthy mind right now. Is that perfectly clear to you? That's all, Ben. You'll pardon me if I don't shake hands with you. I think you are filth. I think you are scum.
Mr. McCleary leans on the banister. He knocks into McCleary.
Hi.
Ben hurries past McCleary, then comes back.
McCleary, do you have some change? I need to use the phone.
I want you out of here.
Look, I'll give you $10 for a dime. I'll give you 20. For God's sake, will you let me use that phone?
I'll call the police now.
Could I make one phone call first?
Get out of here!
He points down the staircase. Ben bolts down and runs out the front door.
Elaine Robinson has left school. Her roommate's coming down with a note for you.
Ben waits in Elaine's dormitory for her roommate.
Dear Benjamin, please forgive me, because I know what I am doing is the best thing for you. My father is so upset, you've got to understand. I love you, but it would never work out.
It's nighttime. Ben's speeding along the highway in his Alfa Romeo. Thank you. He climbs a fence and enters the sun porch at the back of the Robinsons, tripping as he goes in. In the darkness, he hurries across the room and up the stairs, sweat running down the sides of his face. He hurries into Elaine's bedroom where the lights are on.
Elaine?
Hello, Benjamin.
Unperturbed, Mrs. Robinson walks past him. She picks up the phone.
Where is she?
Hello, get me the police, please.
Where is Elaine?
I'll be with you in a moment, Benjamin. Do you have a patrol car in the vicinity of 1200 Glenview Road? Good, we have a burglar here. Just a second, I'll ask him. Are you armed?
Ben stands and stares.
No, I don't believe he is. Thank you.
What have you done to her?
I think we have everything quite under control now, Benjamin. Would you like a quick drink before you go?
You can't stop me from seeing her, Mrs. Robinson. I'll find her.
Sorry we won't be able to invite you to the wedding, Benjamin, but the arrangements have been so rushed.
She's packing a large suitcase. He's dumped the suitcase onto the floor.
I don't think you'll have time for that drink after all.
I'll find you.
I don't think so.
Back on the road, headed north to San Francisco and Berkeley. He comes out of a tunnel and heads across the bridge.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stand up tall, Mrs. Robinson. God in heaven smiles on those who pray. Hey, hey, hey.
He parks his now filthy car and dashes up the steps of a fraternity house in Berkeley, nearly colliding with a German Shepherd. Inside, he finds a bunch of frat boys sitting at a long table having breakfast. A dog is eating with them.
Say, fellas, do any of you fellas know where Carl Smith is?
He took off in the middle of the night to get married.
Yeah, probably one step ahead of the shotgun.
Ben fakes
Would
a smile.
Do you know where he's getting married? I'm supposed to be there.
Why don't you ask Carter?
Would you happen to know where I might find him?
Hey, Carter!
The communal bathroom.
Where's the make-out king getting married? Stay out of our room!
You don't happen to know exactly where the old make-out king is getting married, do you? I'm supposed to be there.
Where's Santa Barbara?
I don't know. Maybe his old man's house. Or in the maternity ward.
Hey, you going to the wedding?
Yeah.
Hey, tell him to save a piece for me.
Ben blinks, unsmiling. On the highway to Santa Barbara, moving fast, passing everything on the road. He exits at Santa Barbara and zooms into a petrol station, jumping out of the car.
Can I use your phone?
Yeah.
Ben rifles through the phone book like a madman, tearing a few pages out accidentally. He dials. He pounds the wall in frustration at waiting.
657-2036.
Hello, who is this?
This is Dr. Smith's answering service.
Is the doctor anywhere?
Well, I'm afraid the doctor can't be reached right now. If you'd like to leave...
I have to know where he is.
Well, you see, the doctor is at his son's wedding, but I'm sure it's over by now. He should be checking in any moment.
Listen to me. I'm Dr. Smith's brother, Reverend Smith, and I'm supposed to perform the ceremony. I just got in from Portland, and I've forgotten what church, you see?
Oh, well, I'm not sure, but do you mind trying the First Presbyterian? That's on Allen Street.
Thank you. Allen Street, where is it?
It's six blocks up and three over. You need any gas, Father?
Ben's off again in a cloud of dust. Ben's out of gas after one attempt at restarting, and with hardly a backwards glance, he abandons his filthy sports car and takes off, running on the shoulder of the fairly busy road, indifferent to the passing traffic. In light trousers, hooded jacket, a pair of sneakers, and a couple of days' growth on his face, Ben turns off the main road onto a sidewalk and begins to run flat out, arms pumping, dark hair blown back off his forehead. His head turns as he gets his bearings and spots his destination, a large, modern white church, standing in the middle of a lawn. Ben tries the front door. It's locked. He races up an outside staircase to the first floor. The door is open. He's in. At the front of the church, the groom's kissing the bride. He stands at the back of the church, dressed in white, arms outstretched as he leans on the glass separating him from the others. Tears fill his eyes and sweat glistens on his face. He pounds the glass. The wedding guests turn.
Where's that guy? What's he doing?
The Robinsons. She stares at him open-mouthed. Her bridal veil frames her dark hair as she moves trance-like up the aisle, pulled by his lone, plaintive cry. She turns to her mother, her father, her new husband, and watches their faces contort as their mouths move, cursing Ben. Ben runs down the stairs and meets Mr. Robinson coming up. Ben tries to avoid him by leaping the banister, but Mr. Robinson grabs him from behind, pinning Ben's arms back as they struggle. Ben elbows him and breaks free, grabbing Elaine's hand. Mrs. Robinson confronts Elaine. She slaps Elaine across the face as Ben grabs a cross and starts swinging it to hold them at bay. Ben and Elaine run out the glass doors and Ben shoves the cross through the handles, locking the others in. Ben and Elaine run, holding hands, grinning. A bus stops and they get in. Ben shoves a bill into the fare machine and they rush to the back of the bus as everyone stares nonplussed. They sit on the back seat and look out the window, Ben sweaty with a torn jacket, Elaine in formal bridal attire. Everyone on the bus turns and stares blankly at Ben and Elaine, who smile at each other, then look straight ahead as the bus disappears down the road.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Restless dreams I walk alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, beneath the halo of a street lamp. I turn my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split
the night and touch the sound of silence.